I'm glad that God is present with us always. I'm so glad that whatever need you have, please listen to me, whatever need you have right now can be met here today by the Spirit of the living God. If your need is salvation and you don't know, you're just not sure. Think about this, please. If you're not sure that if you died today, that you have a home in heaven, I mean 100% Bible reason, you know you're going to heaven when you die. If you can have a doubt, you're in the best place on earth. I can show you in the Bible where God gives you His Word, and it cannot be broken. God has sealed it with His blood and by His Spirit, amen. And He promises you a home in heaven. What a great thing. Knowing therefore that I have a home in heaven, knowing that I don't ever have to worry about what's going to happen to me, I can live my life a little fuller. I can live my life a little happier. I don't have to worry as much about certain things, amen. Jesus said, hey guys, the sparrows, God takes care of them. Jesus said, hey, look at the flowers. They don't spindle, they don't toil, and yet they're arrayed beautifully, and God feeds them and gives them sunshine and water. He says, every animal on the planet God gives food to. He says, how much more? How much more are you more important than sparrows and flowers? Amen. You are the children of the living God, and God is real and He's here. And I feel sorry. I do. I feel sorry for people that don't know Him. I want you to know Him. My job as a pastor is to get you and Jesus together. It's not about ever about religion. It's not about being a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian. It's about being a Christian. Amen. It's about following the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one and only. The only way. He is so good. He's so kind. He's so amazing. He knows exactly what you've done in your whole life and He loves you anyway. Tell me where you can find that from. Amen. He has a place for you. He has a purpose for you. He's got a plan for your life. And if you will follow Him by faith, if you'll follow Him, every single thing that He said will happen. God took this, you know, David, they said He took him from the sheepfold of feeding the sheep and made him king over Israel. I wasn't even worthy enough to be a shepherd. I was nothing. And God, everything He put in my heart and desire, He's allowed me to come and hear and teach and preach the word of the Lord to some of the greatest people on earth. I'm here to tell you right now, God has a plan for every one of you, and He wants all of you to be up here and none of you to be down there. Amen. There's a problem, though. We do have an enemy. We do live in this world. There is darkness in this world. Someone say amen. There is wickedness in this world. Someone say amen. Don't be foolish and think it doesn't exist. It exists. It's around every corner. It's around every moment of every time of you, even in your thoughts. At one minute, you can be rejoicing. Next minute, have a dark thought. Darkness is always around. Despair is always there. But guess what? Jesus Christ is brighter and shines stronger than any of the darkness that ever was. When you go into a dark room, all you got to do is turn the smallest of light and darkness runs. Amen. Today's message is talked about in Ezekiel chapter 9. I'll give you a minute to find Ezekiel. But the title of today's message is The Marked Man. The Marked Man. I just want to let you know. That every single one of us is marked. You were born with a mark, amen? We all know about the mark of the beast. We even know about the mark of Cain. When Cain murdered his brother Abel. And Abel's blood cried out. And I believe his blood said what Jesus said. He said, forgive him, Father. Don't kill my brother. Because he loved his brother. And so God, when he came to Cain, he said to Cain that you're cast out of Eden. You're cast out of here. You're going to be a vagabond. You're going to be going alone. Life's going to be terrible and miserable for you. It sounds like a lot of people I know. Life's just terrible and miserable for them. Everywhere they go, pain and suffering. Everywhere they go, problems. Maybe they got the mark of Cain on them. I don't know. All I know is that God put a mark upon him. And that mark was not to hurt him. That mark was to protect him. That mark was to keep others from hurting him. That mark that God put upon a murderer, God still cared about him and protected him, made sure that he didn't get murdered himself. God's always good. He's good to the wicked and He's good to the poor and He's good to the rich. He's good to everyone. Amen. God is good. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But God, there comes a time when God's goodness is tried to a certain point and God says, that's it, I have to judge. I have to judge, amen? So Cain, even though he was marked by God,
that other people would see it. It was a visible mark on him that others would know that God is going to judge him. No man shall. He still didn't escape judgment. He still died a death. He still probably went to hell. But the truth of the matter is not one person in the world ever has to go to hell. Amen? I wonder if some people think that they're marked for hell. You know what I mean? I wonder if some people say, no matter what I'm doing, whatever I do, I'm just doomed. That's a horrible way to think because it's not true. Unless it does become true. God does mark us. God, like I said, Mark came. But there's a mark of God and there's also a mark of Satan. And I wonder, as we explore this message and as I talk about it and we look at the verses and I explain some things, I want you to think deeply about this. Are you marked? And what mark is upon you? In Ezekiel chapter 9, are you there? If you look at me, starting in verse 3, Ezekiel 9:3 says, "And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold, the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side." Turn me down, please, a little. "And the Lord said unto him, Go throughout the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, Go ye after him through the city and smite, and let not your eyes spare, neither have pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray right now. And first, before we say any words of what we need or what we want, we just want to tell you we love you. And we thank you for your kindness and your mercy and your grace to us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that shed his blood, that gave his life for all men everywhere. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the church and the brothers and sisters. I thank you for the Spirit of the living God indwelled in each and every one of us. Thank you for the book that tells us the future. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Would you now please meet with us, speak to us, teach us, Lord, and then reveal to us the hidden truths of our hearts. And I pray, as Job prayed, mark me. Mark me, Lord, and mark everyone here. Put a mark of God upon us that we will never be touched by judgment. We will never be touched by the devil. Help us, I pray today, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. It's a spiritual mark that God put upon them. It's funny because he said a man with an inkhorn. It was an angel and he had an inkhorn. He went around and he marked people in their foreheads. And we know in the book of Revelation chapter 13 that in the future, the devil's going to try to do the same thing. And he's going to put marks on people's foreheads or their right hands. But that's the mark of Satan and not the mark of God. The mark of God is a spiritual mark that only God can see. But it's not just only God can see it, because I see it when I can see the mark of God on certain people. I can tell that certain people have been marked by God. Amen. They care about God. They love God. They're singing about God. They're just different than anyone else. And then I can tell some other people, oh, they must have the mark of the devil on them, because everything they do is just bad, negative, angry, deceitful. Everything. You just see them and you're like, whoa, what kind of mark is upon them? But this spiritual mark that he puts on those and only those that hated wickedness. Only those that hated what was going on. I don't know about you today. I know many of you. But I know that many of you are concerned about what's going on in this world today. Concerned about what's going on in our nation. Used to be the most God-fearing nation on all the planet. Doesn't seem like that anymore. Used to be a very moral and strong nation, standing up for righteousness. Doesn't seem that way anymore. But many of us are concerned about the nation, the morals of the nation.
not the politics so much, but the morality of it. I'm telling you right now, I'm concerned, but I'm also concerned for the families of our nation. I look at, you know, the divorce rate, how high it is. And it's the same because Jesus was asked point blank, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Didn't say that. He said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any reason? Can you just get divorced for anything? And Jesus said, only out of the hardness of your hearts you would do that. He said, because God, in the beginning, He wanted you to be man and woman forever. He didn't want anything to separate. He said, what man, God brought together, let not man put asunder. But yet it is still lawful to get a divorce. And men, I'd say eight out of ten divorces could be diverted. Eight out of ten divorces probably could have been healed, could have been fixed, if one person would have just acted like a Christian, would have forgave, been humbled, kind, merciful, and loving. Just one. It always takes two, you know that. But there's always that 2% that you can't help, you know that too. And it's not about divorce today, but I see the families, and I see children, and I see teenagers, and they're a mess. I see people trying to hurt themselves and cut themselves. Never in the history of America has there been a generation where children try to hurt themselves. Where'd that come from? It makes me cry to think that people will kill themselves and hurt themselves when so many people are around that would love them. They just don't realize. They don't see the light. They don't see the love. All they see is the darkness. And it's so sad because all I see is the light. And I can't look into the darkness and say, "What? Why don't you see what I see? Why don't you know what I know? I am so loved. God loves me with such an everlasting, abiding love that it's changed my life forever." Amen. And that mark that God put on me, I know it's on me. You know why? Because it changed me forever. I was a child of the devil. Now I'm marked, I'm a child of God. And because of that, I feel and I care and I'm concerned. And because of that, God has called me. He said, "You got a big mouth." I said, "I'm sorry, Lord. Be a big mouth for me." I said, "Oh, okay, I can do that." God said, "You're crazy. You do crazy stuff." "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Do crazy stuff for me." God said, "You're not embarrassed about anything." I said, "I'm sorry, Lord." "No, don't be embarrassed, but don't be it for me." Amen. Go out and tell the people. Preach the word. Sing and praise and worship in my holy mountain that all may hear and know. I am a big mouth. I know you didn't know that. I know it's a secret. But I'm going to be a big mouth to the day I die for Jesus. I can't help it. He's awesome. I love Him. He loves me. He's filled my heart with so much joy. And then I look around, I see so much sadness and grief. And I'm like, why? Just come to Jesus. And you know how it is. Because certain people, there's certain forces that stop them. There's certain things, forces at work. If you would turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 13. Last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 13. See, God came down and He sent the angel and He told him, mark everyone on the forehead. Everyone that fears, everyone that hates the evil, everyone that can't stand the way things are going today, everyone that is sick and tired of evil running and sickness and despair and desperation, everyone that's sick and tired of that, He said, go and mark their foreheads because they're mine. They're my people. In Revelation chapter 13, look with me in verse 16, please. It says this, it says, and he, meaning the devil, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understand, that hath understanding, count the number of the beast. For the number, look what it says, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. 666. At the end of this message, I'll tell you a little more about that, what it means. But here, he's got a mark for him. Look in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 in verse 9 says this. It says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice,
If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture unto the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they had no rest day nor night who worshiped the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have faith in Jesus Christ. Turn with Revelation 19, please. Revelation 19. Look with me in one verse, in verse 20. Revelation 19:20 says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh." This is a horrible, horrible, disgusting future that is coming upon this world. But it must take place so that righteousness can reign. It must take place so that evil will be eradicated. It must take place. It must take place so that we can live on this earth the way we want to live in our hearts. But no one has to be marked by Satan. You know who's marked by Satan? All those, the Bible says, that care more about buying and selling. All those that care about themselves. You see, Jesus, the Bible tells us that God marked everyone that cared about Him. All those that hated wickedness and they hated the abominations that were going on. And they weren't a part of it. And it says God went down and marked them and said, "No one will touch them, they're safe." And He said, "But the rest of them, destroy and have no mercy." It's so sad because no one deserves to go through that unless they choose it. Unless they choose it for themselves. Satan's mark is physical. God's mark is spiritual. Satan's mark is a physical, absolute mark that you can see that people take. And he's setting the people up because how many people nowadays will get a tattoo for any whim? So writing on their body for permanent is normal. They don't care. "Hey, you want a tattoo? Sure. Put it on your face. All right." Where in the world people realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You live for God. God owns you. If you got tattoos, there's nothing you can do about it. Just don't get no more. Amen? Don't be stupid. Say, "Yeah, I know, but I like it." Okay. How do you know? How do you know that when the time comes and all of a sudden the whole world says, "Hey, you won't be able to buy anything. You won't be able to sell anything. You won't be able to pay any bills. You won't be able to buy any food for your children unless you get this little tattoo or whatever it is." I'm just telling you, it's coming. It's coming. We need to be wise about it. Satan's mark is physical. The word used in Genesis when it came was off. The word was off, and it means the appearing, a signal, a flag, a beacon, evidence. It was a physical mark that you could be seen. That was the mark of Cain, that others could see it. But in Ezekiel, the word was tava, T-A-W-V. And this means a desire. This was when God went and he told the angel, put a mark on their foreheads in Ezekiel. He said, all those that really care about doing right. And he said, and it says tava means a desire, a signature. God wrote on them his name. God put his signature upon them. God put his name on them. I like that a lot, to be honest with you. The Bible says that God's desire is upon those that love him. God has a desire for all of us, but not all of us have a desire for Him. God's love, it knows no bounds, and God loves every single human being that's ever been born, and that's a fact. And God's desire upon them, but you know what happens? God cannot make someone love them. God cannot make you serve Him. God cannot make you believe in Him. God cannot, will not ever make a person do something outside of their free will. And what happens is all the people from the beginning of time, all the way to the cross of Christ Jesus, all the way for the past 2,000 years, where every preacher and every person has preached the good news, the good news, the good news that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Chosen One. That Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. That God so loved the world. Let me proclaim it from the mountaintop. That God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, should not be damned, should not be a part of the devil's plan, but have everlasting life. For Christ was sent into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But people will not come to the Lord. He's the light. People will not come to the light because they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And you're either part of the light or you're part of the darkness. And if you're part of the light, God will come and He will write His name upon you. His name is Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. His name is Jesus. And if you want Him to and call upon Him, He'll write His name on your forehead. Signature, Jesus, Yeshua, property of Yeshua, property of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, property of Jesus. Imagine that, property of God's signature. You know, when an artist creates a Rembrandt, or he creates a beautiful work of art, he always signs his name at the bottom. God looks at you and says, "You are my greatest work of art I've ever done." And we look at each other and go, "Okay, has He seen Him?" Yeah, God has seen the love that it has. God has seen the cry of His heart. God has seen the tears on His bed. God has seen the compassion. God has seen the honesty. God has seen it all. And that's why He sent His angel to put His name upon your heads. But when that mark comes upon you, it's not a physical mark, it's a spiritual mark. It makes you, it changes you into God's creation, God's creature, God's, as the Bible says, prized possession. And you become a child of the Most High God. You got His name on it. You know, people say, "What's your name on that?" God says, "Yep. Hey, that's my seat. You got your name on it?" "Yes, I do. Right there." "Oh, okay." I'll tell you right now, the mark of God and the mark of Satan are two totally different things. The Bible tells us, and turn with me to Romans chapter 16, please. The book of Romans, chapter 16. Thank you. Satan's mark is physical. You can tell the people that have the mark of Satan on them because it's all about them. It's all about their body. It's all about physical. You can tell when someone has an unclean spirit. You know why? Because they always wanted, they want to defile the body. They want to hurt the body. They want to put holes and piercings and carvings and things on it. That is not you. That is no human being wants that. That is an unclean, unholy spirit. God loves you. He doesn't want any holes. We got enough holes in our heads. Please, girls, stop putting more in there. You got enough. I'm here to tell you, if you think that you can do whatever you want to your body, then you must have a physical mark on you. The mark of Satan, which is the number of a man. 666. We'll get into that in a minute. I want to ask you a question. If God's desire is upon you and He's writing His name upon you, I'm telling you right now, the devil puts his name upon you too. And you know what? I can tell. Probably you can tell. You know somebody's marked. You know someone's got a mark of Satan on them. You can tell. You try to talk to them about Jesus, see how they act. Try to talk to them about godliness and holiness and righteousness and faith and love and kindness and mercy and forgiveness. See how they act. My point is this, is I want to know if you know what mark is upon you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 16, are you there? If you would, look with me in verse 17, please. He says, "Now I beseech you," he's begging you, "brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. You see, not only does God mark, not only does the devil mark, but we're told to mark. See, we're supposed to mark certain things in our lives. We're supposed to know the enemy and mark the enemy. We're supposed to know what is bad for us and mark that and say, I ain't going there. I don't know about you, but I'm not the wisest guy. I had to learn from my mistakes. I wasn't the kind of guy that, oh, I saw what happened to him, so I ain't doing it. No, I was like, oh, look how terrible it happened to him. And I had to do it 3 or 4 or 5 times. And then get beat up and be like, okay, and learn. Other people are like certain people I know. They're wise. And they're like, you shouldn't do that. Why? Did you ever do it? No, I'm not stupid. And you're like, yeah, I guess I am stupid. I have to keep doing the same thing over and over again, getting hit in the head. It's like, how many times are you going to hit yourself in a hammer to realize it hurts? Amen? So there's certain things, places you ought to mark and say, I ain't going there. I know what happens when I go there. There's certain people you ought to mark and say, I ain't going with that person, because every time I go with that person, I know what happens. There's certain things in this world that you need to mark, amen, and mark them and say, I know where that leads. I know where that door goes to. I ain't going there. Someone say amen.
Amen.
God commands us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, mark them that cause division, that are contrary to the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. Problem is, people don't even know what Jesus taught. I'll tell you what Jesus taught. Follow the Lord Jesus. Be holy. Be righteous. Be good. Be kind. Be merciful. But with all your heart, believe. Believe, believe, believe. And the Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you. But here in Romans there it says to mark certain people. The word used here is shapeo. It's skapeo. And that means to take aim at. It means to spy, to consider, to heed, to look at, to mark it and avoid it. So there's different types of marks. Amen. There's a mark of God, which means a desire and a signature. There's a mark of the devil, which means an actual, if you look at that word, see, it means an actual etching. It means an actual carving. It's an actual thing that you can see. And then there's a mark that we mark people, and that's we're supposed to just mark them and like observe and say, oh, I know where that goes. I ain't going there. But also, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. Just turn a couple pages to the right, and you'll see a few pages. You'll see Galatians and Ephesians. They see Philippians. And look in chapter 3 with me. Chapter 3, verse 17 says this. It says, brethren, be followers together of me. Talking about the apostle. And mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. See, not only are you supposed to mark those that you know aren't God's, that you know are going to lead you in the wrong place, that you know you're supposed to mark them and avoid them, but you're also supposed to mark the ones you're supposed to go with. You're supposed to mark people. I'm here to tell you, you're a marked woman. I had you marked years ago. I'm following Bert, amen? I'm hanging out with her. I'm telling you right now, I won't mention any names. You guys are marked. You can't get rid of me. The Bible told me to follow you, and I am, because I love you guys. I meet some people, I see the mark of God on them. I see them act like God, love God. Doesn't mean they're perfect and holy, but it sure means their attitude is, their spirit is. When they do, you know, everything is about our heart. Everything is about our heart. I don't care what you've done. I just care about what you want to do. Because if you want to do right, eventually you will. If you don't care about doing right, that's what you're going to do the rest of your life, and you're going to be marked. I'm here to tell you, the Bible tells me to mark certain individuals and follow them. Hang out with them. They're the ones you want to be with. Amen? And I'm here to tell you, all you need to mark some people in the church here. We have some amazing, amazing people in this church. And I'm just so happy and blessed to know them. I'm so happy that I can say, yeah, I know them. I love them. Man, I want to mark them. I want to hang with them. I want to be with them. I want to be like them. There's people in this church I want to be like when I grow up. Thank you for laughing. I appreciate that. You know, this little girl, Ava, she's from China. Now, since I'm talking about you, just pretend you don't hear. But she's so sweet and so kind and so gentle. And so caring and so loving.
But yet she doesn't even know Jesus. She's just learning about him now. But you know what happens when she learns it? She asks me a question. She asks questions. And she says to me, pretend you don't hear this because I'll embarrass you. She'll come and say, Dad, is so-and-so a Christian? And I'm like, no. She goes, I didn't think so. She knows nothing about the Bible. She knows nothing about Jesus. She's learning now. But she heard what Christians are supposed to be like. So when she meets someone, they're in church, so they must be Christians. And then she meets people and how they act and how they talk and the attitudes they have. And then she comes and says, Dad, is so-and-so a Christian? And I was like, you know, swallowing hard, no, hon. And she goes, I don't think so. I didn't think so. And then I'll say, is something? I'll say, yes. She goes, I thought so. Yeah. So I'm going to hang out with them. She knows that already, that there's certain people to hang with and certain people not to hang with. Amen? Wow. If only we could have that kind of knowledge and faith. The Bible tells us to mark them that walk like Jesus did, so we have them for an example. We are all as marked men. All of us are marked. We're either marked by God for God, or you're marked by Satan against God. You're either for the things of God, Jesus said, you're either for me, or you're against me. We can't, there's no middle ground. There's no middle road. You can't play the game. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. It won't work, won't work. Because you're a hypocrite and a phony. All of us. We can't say, yes, I love Jesus, and not do as Jesus says. Because I'm telling you right now, what's going to happen is you're going to take the mark. Listen to this verse. Psalm 37:37 says this. It says, mark the perfect man. Follow his ways. Mark the perfect man. Has anyone... Is that me? No. I am so far from perfect that I would never use the word perfect when it comes anywhere near to me or my family. When you say, I'm not perfect, I want you to know this. No one thought you were. You know, people use that all the time. Says, well, I'm not perfect. Yeah, I know. No one ever, even for a moment, ever thought that. So why do you say that? You're not even closer anywhere in the vicinity of perfect. Amen? But I know someone who is. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's the Son of the living God, and he's perfect. Amen? And guess what happens? The Bible says to mark the perfect man. Jesus was the perfect man. And guess what? He was marked by God. God's signature was all over him. Amen? When God said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. God's name was all over him. You know what else? Satan's mark was all over him too. I don't mean the mark of Cain. I mean the mark like a bullseye. Because the Bible says in Lamentations 3:12, it says, he has bent his bow. He has set me as a mark for the arrow. Do you ever feel like the devil's out there has got you in the target? Do you ever feel like you're in the crosshairs? Do you ever feel like wherever you go, those arrows are coming? Yeah, because we do have a devil, and he's got a mark out for you. He can't mark you on the forehead. You're already signed. But he can shoot arrows from far away. Amen. He knows his bullseye. He knows his targets. His targeting is these young, innocent girls. His targeting is the moms and dads. His targeting is children. Why isn't he down there? His targeting is our children. His targeting is our families. His targeting is our pastors. His targeting is you sitting there. I'm telling you right now, it says, I'm a marked man like an arrow. An arrow's marked on me. And that's what Jesus was. Jesus had the mark of God. And anytime you get the mark of God, you have an enemy out there that wants to shoot arrows at you. That's why the Bible tells us to wear the whole armor of God. So you may be able to withstand the fiery darts of the devil. Amen? Isaiah 49:16. If you want, you can turn there. I just want to take a minute to reflect exactly what it says. It blows me away. Jesus was a marked man. He had the markings of God on him. But he's still marked. Jesus is a marked man that the marks that he bears will never come off. The marks. That my Lord has. It says, behold, I have graven you in the palms of my hand. Jesus
has me engraved in the palms of his hands. No devil can ever touch me. No judgment will ever come near me. No evil thing can ever come close to me because I belong to God. How do I know? Look at the holes in his hands. The nail prints. Jesus said, I have graven you in the palms of my hands. Jesus is marked forever for the humanity of men and women. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is the Creator. And he's the lover of your soul. I'll tell you right now, it said in Job. Job said, mark me, O Lord. Mark me. I'm here to tell you how I want the mark of God, and all of you ought to be. What are you marked of? What's in your heart? What's in your mind? All I keep thinking of is those holes in his hands. Jesus in his resurrected body kept the scars, kept the holes, so that he will always, always, always remember that you are graved in the palm of his hands. What an amazing Lord we serve. The marks of salvation are on Jesus' hands, are they not? Well, the marks of salvation should be forever graved in your mind and heart as well. The marks of salvation, the mark of prayer, the mark of love, the mark of worship, the mark of praise, the mark of preaching. We ought to be marked, amen? There ought to be a mark on us that people say, that guy is so marked of God, you can't get rid of the scars in his hands and you can't get rid of the love that's in your heart. You cannot wash it away. You can't run from it. You can't drink yourself away or hide away in drugs. You cannot get away from the love that is in Christ Jesus for you. It's always there, amen. You might as well just say, mark me, God. I give you my life. I'm here to tell you, you're a marked man, a marked woman. But I need to know, what mark do you have on you? Do you have the mark of God on you? That you can't get away from them when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking of them. When you wake up in the morning, you're thinking. When you're driving, you're thinking. When you're reading, you're thinking. And when you're not thinking, all of a sudden you remember, and then you think, oh, I should have been thinking. You can't get away from God, can you? How many people have been here, been saved, been born again, but your whole life has changed? You're not the same person anymore. You're not the same desires anymore. Your desire now is his desire. That's why it says you were marked with his desire. He desired you to be his own, and he put his desire in your heart. That's why you can't get away from it. That's how you know who's really God's and who's really the devil's. Oh, the devil comes to church, trust me. The people come to church, trust me, because they're looking for something to benefit them. Why do people go to churches all over? To get something from the Bible, get something from God, to get something from the church. What can the church do for me? Think not what the church can do for you, but think what you can do for the church. Amen. Think not what you can do. What can God do for me? What? What can you do for God? What has God already done? What more does he have to do? Be crucified again? God has done everything for you. And you live your life as Satan did. An angel in the presence of God was created by God, the most beautiful, the most powerful, glorious angel. And he rebelled against God. Just like we do. If you got the mark of Satan on you, you'll rebel against God. You'll rebel against coming to church. Oh yeah, it'll be too much of a hassle for you. You rebel against reading your Bible. Sure you will. You won't read your Bible because you're not marked by God. That's how you know. How do I know when I was saved? I knew nothing. Didn't even have a church for 2 years. Didn't have a Bible, didn't have a book, but I knew I was different. When someone talked about it, I'm like, what? Adam and Eve, what? Tell me this. Tell me more. I was hungering for it. I wanted to know because he put a desire in me. The desire of salvation, is it in your hands? The desire of the work of Christ, is it in you? The desire, is it for the people of God? Is it for the purpose of God? Is it for the plan of God? What is your desire for? Just think about that. What do you desire most? The way of salvation is marked. The way of the Lord is marked. It's marked very clear. You don't have to guess, which way should I go? You don't have to say, like I'm in a forest and I'm lost. No, you've been found. You've been given light. The way of God is marked very clearly. We need to follow the markings. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Did he put your signature upon you? Are you marked? Is it a mark that we can see? When others see you, and you don't have to know exactly what they're thinking, but they all think something. I just found out from another pastor this past week. He told me, he said, and I've heard this before from others, I just didn't hear from a pastor. He said, you know, when I first met you, I thought you were a phony. He said, nobody can be that happy that long. It's going to go away. It's been 23 years I've been saved, and it's getting stronger. The only reason I'm quieter, because I don't want to scare you when you run out the other side. I got to calm myself down, isn't it true? When I was sitting there and the preacher was up here, I was the loudest one. It's the truth. I don't say anything and it's not true. I only say it when I feel it. It's like people say, oh, you get fired up. You don't get fired up. You either are fired up or you're not fired up. You're that or you're a phony. But the truth of the matter is I get so excited when people start preaching and they start talking about Jesus. I say, hold me down. So I need a seatbelt. I want to get up. I want to run. I want to shout. I want to hallelujah. Yeah. I'm telling you, I got to hold myself down. And when I see things of the devil, I get angry too. As a pastor, one of my jobs is to exhort and reprove and rebuke. I don't like doing it. You know why? Because people can't handle it and they run away. And they don't come back to church, and I think, okay, there's no chance for them. See, I believe that outside of the church, you have really no hope. You know why? Because if you're not involved in the church, with the people of the church, with the book of the church, with the pastor of the church, then what are you involved in? Nothing of God. Yeah, but I believe. Okay, devil believes too. And he trembles. You don't even tremble. My point is this. I'm getting to the point, to the end. Who made this mess back here? That's why I got to calm down. I told you. I'm like, I got to calm down. We need to bolt this thing. It's a mark. Can others see the mark? When people talk about you, when your family looks at you, when your friends and your coworkers and people that know you, I wonder what they think about you. I wonder if they say, oh man, that person's marked for God. Or they say, I don't know, I think the devil's got his mark on that person. Still drinking, still whoring, still gambling, still lying, still cheating, doing every single thing that God's against. And you're going to be like, oh yeah, I'm for God. Okay, you're the only one that thinks it. No one else in the world thinks it. We need to know ourselves, don't we? The mark of God is His love for you. And the mark that's in you is your love for Him. Satan's mark, and I'm finishing, Satan's mark is a love for yourself. How do you know if you're marked by God? Because you have a love that you never had before for God. You have a love for the people of God. You have the love for the Bible of God. You have the love for the Spirit of God. Everything you have about God, you just love it. But then, how can you tell the mark of Satan? Because it's mark of self. Turn with me to Revelation 13, please. And we'll finish up. Satan's mark upon a person is that they love themselves more than they love God. They love themselves. They care about themselves. And I'm not talking about an adornment, an infatuation for yourself. I'm talking about evidence that you take more time, you spend more money, you do more things for yourself than you do for God. This is a dangerous thing because this is exactly what Satan does. He deceives us. And his desire is for those that don't love God. See, he doesn't desire you if you love God. He hates you. He doesn't desire to have you. Remember the Bible said, Jesus said to Peter, Satan desires to have you. He wants to sift you as wheat. That's because he wasn't converted yet. After he got converted, Satan hated him. Wanted to kill him. Every point, every chance he got. Revelation chapter 13, are you there? Amen. I'm going to finish with this. As we're looking, I'm going to look for a song. And I would like to sing the song that we used to sing years ago. I'm trying to think of it right now. What was it?
Somebody said something? What's the song we used to sing in the other church? The song Books Didn't Have It, now it does. Remember Renee Fabrizio sang it? We used to sing it all the time. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Somebody find that for me as I'm reading this last verse so we can turn to it. Yell out the number and we'll turn to it and we'll sing. Since we don't have a piano player, we are the choir. But it's turn your eyes upon Jesus. It's a great thing. To what? 261. But as you're turning there, please pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. It's very important. In Revelation chapter 13, in verse 18, it says, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. 666. What is that mark of Satan that's on you? Six is the number of man. It's your number. And how do you know that you're marked by God or by Satan is how much you care about yourself compared to how much you care about others. How much you care about yourself more than how much you care about God. Because when you're marked by God, you have 777, so to speak. And it's all about completely God, only God, care about God. Problem is the devil, he's tricky. And it's about me, me, me. That's what 666 is, me, me, me. And it's about self, self, me, myself, I. When you get depressed, it's selfish. Selfish to others because it's all about you. When you get angry, selfish, it's all about you. When you get offended, I can't believe someone said that to me. It's all about you. See, that's the problem. Is we got people that are marked. They think they love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And my commandments aren't grievous. You know what they are? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love one another. Care about others more than yourself. Care about the things of God. Care about the church of God. Care about the plan of God. I'm telling you here right now, we're a brand new church. We're only 4 years old, which isn't a lot. We've only been here for 6 months. I hope and pray you care about this church. Because I do. Not because I'm the pastor of it, but because what is the alternative? The church goes away? Church ceases to exist? Souls cease to get saved? Preaching stops? I'm here to tell you, we should care about the purpose of God more than anything else. We should care about the plan of God more than anything else. God is planting a small plant here and he wants to water it and grow. And it's all of us. He wants us all to grow and be deeply rooted and grounded and settled in the Lord. Amen. Not ourselves. It is not about us. Once it becomes about you, you probably got 1-6 on you already. Amen. The Bible tells us the number is the number of a man. 666. Man, man, man. Me, me, me. When people mark you, do they say, I got his number? Oh, I got his number. I know, he's a phony. I know he goes to church, tells people about Jesus, and I see him smoking crack. I know he goes to church, tells about people at church, and I see him at the bar drinking. I know he goes to church, tells about people, and I see him at the rock concerts, worshiping the devil and the god of this world. The Bible tells us that if you love this world, you do not love the Father. Bible says, for all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of God, but of the world. And the devil's the god of this world. I just want to ask you before we finish. When people mark you, what do you think they say about you? I got their number. I know that person. What do you think they say about you? Do you think they say, that's a person of God? That person can't help it. That's all he talks about. Don't ever be ashamed of only talking about Jesus. Because that's what people say. It's all you talk about. How many people have ever heard them say that to you? Yeah, exactly. It's not even true. It's not even true. I wish it were true. It's not true. It's not true. It should be true, but it's not. You probably talked about it once. And then the rest of your life, right? Come on, Nick. You talk about Jesus at school? Yeah, that's all you're going to be known for. All he does is talk about Jesus. And it's not true. You talk about so many other things. And we should talk about Jesus more. One way to make sure that you don't get the mark of God, I'm sorry, forgive me, you don't get the mark of the devil, but you get the mark of God, is you got to start caring right now. God sent his angel in Ezekiel chapter 9. He said, go and mark their foreheads. Put a signature on them. They belong to me. What? Who are they? Those that hated the wickedness and hated the abominations. And those that didn't want to be part of it, but they wanted to be part of God. If you want to be part of God right now, let God hear you. Let God see you. Make yourself known.